And welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Joe Telestis in for Carl Gerke. Carl is back on Monday. Tomorrow during this the midday spot, of course, it's Tech Radio with the Computer Guys. Ken Osborne will have the day off. Keely Boltina will be thrown to the wolves tomorrow with Tech Radio. But always a fun program. Hope you join us tomorrow on Dakota Midday. As the second highest scoring Navy ace in U.S. history, Captain Cecil E. Harris's outstanding achievements as a fighter pilot during World War II garnered him local and national recognition. Harris shot down 24 enemy warplanes in 81 days while never taking a single bullet on his own plane. Now, 70 years later, the Cresbard native and Northern State University alumni's accomplishments prompted his alma mater's decision to honor him with an 8-foot bronze statue in his likeness, which will be unveiled this Saturday. Jerry Krueger is with us. He's a retired Navy pilot and member of Northern State University's alumni board and a longtime friend of Cecil Harris. And also Benjamin Victor, who's the artist in residence at NSU, owner of Benjamin Victor Studios, who is commissioned to produce this statue. Gentlemen, Jerry Krueger and Benjamin Victor, welcome both of you to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Very good. Jerry Krueger, let's start with you. How and when did you first meet Cecil Harris?
In the year 2000, I was a member of the alumni board at Northern State University. And we decided to enhance homecoming a little bit. We would look up famous graduates. And we came across this name and a little bit about Cecil Harris. And we were just amazed that there hadn't been more public recognition of this man. So we took it upon ourselves, and I ended up carrying the ball for a long time, and we tried to get the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's named the Medal of Honor now, for Cecil, and we never got it done. It just involved too much red tape, and then finally we got the word from higher-ups that it was impossible to do because there was nobody living anymore that was witness to what all he did. But this man is a true hero, and he has all kinds of accomplishments over and above what he shot down. I'm sure you've heard some of the other stories. So.
Well, and we'll talk about them coming up as we continue our conversation. Why don't you take us back to Harris's early life and the circumstances that brought him to Northern State, and then that later to his status as a fighter pilot in the Pacific in World War II.
Well, he was attending Northern when the war broke out, and he had joined the Navy then and went through Navy flight training, and he was in Europe for a while off an aircraft carrier and then finally got transferred to the South Pacific on the USS Intrepid, which, by the way, is my old ship. I was on her 15 years after Cecil was on her.
Talk about, if you would, Cecil Harris the man. What kind of person was he?
He was a wonderful fellow. He, unassuming, didn't have any qualms about just being himself. He didn't want public recognition. He shunned fame. He was just an everyday good guy. He grew up by Cresbard, South Dakota, on a farm. And then later on, after he got out of the Navy, he came back, finished his degree at Northern, and ended up being a teacher and then finally the principal at Cresbard High School. And then during the Korean War, he got called up, and that was kind of the last we'd seen of Cecil around Cresbard.
Tell us about his early days and how. I always find this very interesting that these very skilled fighter pilots, and you were one as well, come from South Dakota. How did he start flying, and how did he first get into an airplane, and then end up in quite possibly some of the hottest action during World War II?
Well, I have an idea that he probably never saw the ocean before he joined the Navy, I'm sure. And he was just an ordinary farm boy. And, of course, some of us have hidden talents that we don't know anything about until we get exposed to it. He probably didn't know himself that he had such acumen as a fighter pilot and could shoot down so many airplanes. That was probably a surprise to him, too. But he had such leadership skills. It finally evolved during the combat days of the USS Intrepid that the senior officers would turn all leadership over to Cecil during aerial combat because he was so smart and so astute at shooting down airplanes. And then he would show his fellow pilots a lot about what he did and so on. I do know that he flew with his seat way down. They said on the flight deck they could hardly see him in the cockpit. And then he also taught aerial combat by saying, you got to be at full power and you got to be pulling lots of G's.
So. sounds like Dale Earnhardt in a race car sitting way down at the bottom. Take us back to those really amazing 81 days in less than 3 months. Cecil Harris shoots down 24 Japanese aircraft. I mean, that must have, I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, he shot down four in one day twice. One time, he had been in aerial combat. He was out of ammunition. He was out of fuel. He came back to the Intrepid and refueled and got his guns all re-ammoed. And he was taking off, and as he was taking off, a kamikaze was coming at the Intrepid. He turned around with his gear and flaps down yet and shot down the kamikaze before it could hit the ship.
Jeez. So
he had all kinds of harrowing experiences that just boggled the mind to think that that man was that talented.
Do you can you tell us the story of that first day when he shot down four planes?
Well, I think it was when the Intrepid was being attacked, and he was ferocious. He just burned up the sky with his ability to shoot down airplanes, and I suppose it had something to do with that full power and pulling G's that got him behind the airplane and was able to shoot him down. Outside of that, I'm really not too familiar anymore about what went on during the combat.
Being a fighter pilot in the heat of war, you got to hope, I would imagine, for some beginner's luck. It's not something that you want to learn bad things right away because your career would be pretty short. Was it that unusual for him to come from not being in any kind of combat to all of a sudden, boom, shooting down 24 planes in 81 days?
Well, he must have had it inside him. He must have had talent that had never been able to be tested until he got in the controls of a fighter airplane. And then he was just unbelievable. And he must have had a lot of grit and a lot of determination to be able to shoot down that many airplanes. He always joked when he got out of the Navy, he always said, gee, if I'd have shot down two more airplanes, I could have been governor of South Dakota, referring to Governor Foss.
That's funny. Benjamin Victor, let's bring you into the conversation. You're a sculptor. How did you enter this process and get the commission to do this statue?
Well, I think it was thanks to Jerry, actually, because Jerry's written for the American News for quite a while, and the American News has been great to me and kind of covered my work and my career. I graduated from Northern State and had works around the country that the American News has run articles on. And so Jerry was kind of familiar with that. And when him and Ken Schroeder and some others were talking about doing this monument to Cecil, I think Jerry mentioned to him that, hey, we've got a sculptor right here in Aberdeen that could be up to the task. And so they started talking to me about doing this piece.
I was reading some news accounts of some of those other works, and you're described as a very young sculptor. Do you consider yourself, or did you consider yourself, a young sculptor? And what is it about the art that that makes it something for more accomplished people, or I should say, more accomplished, more experienced people to go about and do works?
Well, it's difficult work, but to be honest, when I work on these pieces, honoring World War II heroes or war heroes in general, and I've done quite a few of them now, it really is quite humbling, and you don't feel so young anymore when you look at their pictures. I mean, these guys were, anywhere from, in World War II, anywhere from 16 to, 24, right in there. I mean, they were really young. I'm 35 now, and I'm young for the profession of sculpting, but when I'm looking at these pictures and thinking of what these guys accomplished and what they did as young men and basically kept the world a free world, it's pretty amazing. And like I said, pretty humbling too.
As an artist, how do you decide, or how, in this case, how did you decide what the pose was going to be like? Because this is more or less forever. What is that process like? What goes through your creative process?
Well, I knew it had to be something heroic, and at the same time, it had to show him as an everyday guy. So that's not a big, I mean, that is a big bridge, you know, a big gap to fill there, is to create something that's heroic, but at the same time, he's a small town guy from South Dakota, so it has to be approachable. And so he's got one hand on his hip in a fist that looks very no-nonsense. He looks almost in a superhero or a superhuman stance, which, you know, judging by the stories I've heard, is very appropriate. But in the other hand, he's just kind of holding his gloves relaxed, and he's looking out over the horizon, and I think it's just perfect for who Cecil was and the two sides of him, as a down-to-earth guy that came back and taught and was a part of South Dakota, but also went out there and really changed the world with his heroic acts.
What did you know about Cecil Harris, or did you know of Cecil Harris when you started the process, and as you learned about his story, did it influence your work?
It certainly influenced my work, and the research was directly from Jerry and Ken Schroeder and others, family members and people involved in the project. But I didn't know anything going into it. When they called me about doing this, they had seen some of my other works, like the World War II bomber pilot at Boise Airport and our war memorial at Aberdeen Airport and a few other pieces I had done. And they thought that I would be able to do this, but I would definitely need their input to get everything historically accurate and then to make sure it's a likeness of Cecil. So, you know, it was just huge having everybody involved and able to help me all along the way.
Jerry Krueger, you talked a little bit about in 1951 that Cecil Harris was called up for duty in the U.S. during the Korean conflict. And it seemed like when he left South Dakota, maybe things, this story didn't end. It wasn't happily ever after.
Well, he struggled with his fame somewhat, I think. And he went on to be a captain, which is just one step below admiral. He got to be a commanding officer of a training unit somewhere, but I can't remember just where. And he served out his time, and then he just stayed in Lorton, Virginia, in a horse farm, and he passed away in 81. I might throw something else in here, too. Ben alluded to it. I kept trying to get the Congressional Medal of Honor, and I finally was giving up. And about 5 or 6 years ago, my editor at the American News called me and said, "This guy's trying to get a hold of you." Well, it turned out to be Ken Schroeder, and he's a retired Navy captain, Navy pilot, and a retired airline pilot. And Ken sort of picked up the load then, and since we were meeting with so much opposition getting the Congressional Medal of Honor, Ken took it upon himself, and he kind of did it by himself. He got Highway 20, South Dakota Highway 20, named Cecil Harris Memorial Highway, which runs right by Crespard, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also was instrumental in getting a great big sign, home of Cecil Harris, at the outskirts of Crespard, right along Highway 20. And then we sort of evolved into this statue, which we think was one step less than the Congressional Medal of Honor, because he'll be immortalized forever on the campus of Northern State University. So I kind of bowed out, and Ken took over, and thank goodness he did, because he did a marvelous job of doing all this. Just raising the money for this thing was just astronomical.
Now, the statue will be unveiled Saturday. Can you give us some details, and if people want to be part of that process, how can they, and where and when should they be on the northern campus?
It's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning at the west side of Spafford Hall, which is kind of the entrance to the president's office, out on the lawn. And quite a few people have been invited. In fact, Senator John Thune is coming because Harold Thune, John's father, was in the same squadron as a pilot as Cecil. In fact, he was his best man at his wedding, and he flew with Cecil a lot. So he was our one witness we needed to testify of all the things that Cecil did. Of course, we didn't have another one, so that kind of put that on hold, or probably forever, I don't know. But I'm sure disappointed that he wasn't able to get the Congressional Medal of Honor. There is a rumor, and I'm not so sure this is accurate, but there is a rumor that Cecil's commanding officer, while he was on the Intrepid, did recommend him for the Medal of Honor. And it went up to Admiral McCain, who is now Senator John McCain's grandfather, and the war ended, and everything got stopped. But I haven't really been able to put my hand on that and find out whether that's an actual truth or not. But at any rate, we got word from the Secretary of the Navy a while back that we just as well give up on it because it isn't going to happen. Now, as one last resort, and this is kind of humorous, I was so dedicated to getting this man public recognition that he needed. I finally sat down and wrote a personal letter to President Obama, and I asked him to bypass all this protocol and all this other stuff and go ahead and award him the Congressional Medal of Honor, but that was 3 or 4 months ago, and I haven't heard, and I don't suppose I ever will, but it was something I wanted to do, and I got it out of my mind anyway.
Well, it sounds like Cecil Harris, Captain Cecil Harris, will be honored this weekend, and we thank both of you for sharing your story and look forward to seeing the work as it's unveiled up in next time I'm in Aberdeen. I know, and hopefully many people will be able to join you as well. So thank you both.
Thank you for having us on.